Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
It's like a hurricane here in Duckburg. Race cars, lasers, aeroplanes. It's a duck blur. Might solve a mystery or rewrite history. DuckTales, woo! Every day they're out there making DuckTales.
Guys, we are back. Well, guys, ladies, everyone. gender inclusive. Hey, everybody. Hey, I've been doing it for years and I didn't even know it. We're talking about DuckTales. This is an episode called Where No Duck Has Gone Before. We are here with the writer, Len Yulee. Len, thank you once again for joining us to talk about this magical episode of television. Real quick, before we get started, you said before you wrote a Star Trek spec script back in the day. Did that eventually become this episode of DuckTales?
Well, actually not quite, but it's a nice thought. No, what I mentioned before was I wrote my first script, a Star Trek homage, in sixth grade.
Oh, excuse me.
It did not carry across to this episode. However, I was a big fan of Star Trek, and so naturally, Given the opportunity to pitch to our friends at DuckTales, this was one of the things that came up. And like pretty much every animation writer you know from that period, everybody has done, oh yeah, I did a Star Trek spoof too. So mine happened to be the one you folks picked, and thank you for doing so. This was my second freelance assignment for the Walt Disney Animation Unit. And so it turned out, I thought
in your second episode, you basically invented the movie Galaxy Quest. I mean, that's crazy.
That's true.
Yeah, I like theirs better, but that's high praise indeed. That's one of my favorite Star Trek movies, as a matter of fact.
It is a good one. It's a good one.
It really is. It really was kind of spectacular what they did there. But so I was, doing an homage to one of my favorite series growing up. And so given the chance, I did every gag I could think of from that. They did not go with someone like, Kevin Pollak or Maurice LaMarche doing a Shatner voice, but they did get the actor who sounded a little more like a car salesman, but they did give him all the inflections that the character
needed. They did.
So that part was fun. It was, I was very lucky. It was made when they were, sending a lot of the DuckTales episodes to some of the very best Japanese animation outfits. So the animation for its time came back, I thought, looking very good. I managed to slip in some dialogue. I don't know how we got away with it. I had one character say he wouldn't know an asteroid from a...
I caught that.
Okay, yeah. I was going to ask you about that, because I'd like to know how that sentence ends.
I wrote it down.
There was another line. When it comes to courage, I'm full of it.
Yeah, again, another line I like. I loved all these little touches, and I also I liked the so peek behind the curtain. Chan will go through sort of episode descriptions and pick episodes for us to watch. So I didn't know what we were watching, and I very much enjoyed it. I loved all the Star Trek flourishes in this, and I enjoyed this. We don't always get to say that about the cartoons we watch on this show, but I enjoyed this.
Very rarely.
So you're basically gluttons for punishment is what you're telling me.
Our Patreon subscribers pay to punish us, essentially.
Oh, well, again, everyone needs a hobby. But, and showing my another homage to the Mel Brooks Carl Reiner school, Bolvan, the villain, that's Yiddish for an oaf or a clumsy idiot.
Oh.
So we threw that in. And then he says something to the effect of, we come from the planet Kronk to find inferior species and use them as fertilizer. And then Launchpad pulls over Major Courage and says, well, here's the man for the job. So, you know, I when you hear Governor DeSantis saying, you know, you could watch cartoons from the old days. What show was he watching?
Yeah.
There were people like me, and again, fairly innocent as these things go. We weren't trying to corrupt our youth, but we were writing to entertain the parents who were watching along with their kids so that the parents didn't nod off. And, you know, you could, and if the kids saw the parents laughing, they say, why was that funny? And the parents can say, I'll explain later. But at least the kids were getting an education on comedy. I mean, that's what happened to me. I mean, growing up, you know, I'm watching Rocky and Bullwinkle, or I'm reading Mad Magazine, and I'm, you know, some of the jokes are going over my head. But I'm saying to myself, wait a minute, somebody thinks that's funny. Why is that funny? And so for people of my ilk, you start to say, oh, and you start to deconstruct it, and you say, well, I could do that too. And then, you know, you lead to a life of ruin. Or whatever this is, but you find yourself accidentally being a writer. So, you know, it all serves a purpose, now, for good or ill.
Len, I do need to put you on the spot here because, you know, you work for Disney, obviously DuckTales, Disney property. There was a man on the freeway overpass drenched, draped in an American flag with a bullhorn who told me that actually what you were doing is for the devil. And I just want to know how you respond.
What do you mean? We weren't working for the devil at all.
No, that's silly. I have worked for the devil.
We get the hard-hitting stuff here.
Yeah, no, I have worked for some companies where it felt like you were working for Satan.
Well,
but
sure.
They shall remain nameless because I actually want to continue working. But no, I mean, you know, the fact is, any of these giant corporations are in the business of writing stuff, producing stuff that is entertainment first and foremost. And then, you know, those of us who want to write more than fun, you know, we work to write things that keep us engaged, because otherwise you can, you know, you don't want to write something that bores you to death. Good Lord, what's that going to do to your audience when that comes on a screen? So we're all looking to have fun. Or, you know, make people feel something, to make them laugh or cry. I mean, my wife and I watched Call the Midwife. Now, that is not my genre, but I will cry in every episode because they're writing about people. They're writing about the human condition, the joys and the sorrows, life and death in some instances. When you're writing something that speaks to people, I don't care if you're writing preschool or you're writing adult drama, you're always trying to affect people, to make them feel something. We're in the business of feelings and sometimes thoughts too. But, you know, that would be presumptuous of us.
Oh, man. Imagine having feelings. So...
Why do you think the first Star Trek I wrote, I played the Vulcan, because I had the pointy ears already, you know? So,
get it.
And that joke only works if you see me in person, but with a short haircut. But anyway, I digress.
Now, one of the first notes, usually we try to just kind of roll through the episode. I think we're going to be a little bit more loosey-goosey here, just sort of bringing up moments after moments.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things I definitely wanted to say was, you know, we all talk about, you know, the DuckTales theme song introduction is known as just one of the best that's ever existed. Rewatching it with fresh eyes.
Yeah.
This is some of the most exciting stuff I've ever seen. Like he's like in money, and then there's like a giant's hand that he's in, and then they're climbing a pyramid and there's mummy. And I'm watching this being like, this is the most exciting thing I've ever seen in my entire life. This is every adventure movie I grow up watching. Right. Except it's DuckTales, which I also grew up watching. What is happening? I don't know, but with fresh eyes, this is absolutely one of the best intros I've ever seen in my life.
I absolutely agree. Early on, I can't speak to every show that was ever made by the Walt Disney Television Animation Group, but the early shows had these extraordinary theme songs that pulled you in straight away, catchy music, fun lyrics, and I don't know, maybe theme songs are somewhat out of fashion now. I couldn't tell you. Sometimes yes, sometimes no, but it really is a great way to do a repeatable thing that reminds you why you're there. And I hats off to all those people. The Gummy Bears has a great theme song.
Yeah, you know, for sure. Yeah, that's a banger too.
Yeah, Tailspin has a great theme song. These are all really solid. So yeah, I'm a big fan of theme songs, you know?
Yeah, we do a theme song throwdown episode from time to time where we pit some and I think everyone you've just mentioned was in our last bracket, actually, because they're all bangers.
That's right. Well, we talked about X-Men earlier. That's a great theme song. Yeah. It doesn't have lyrics, but great boy, is that does that sound like something exciting is about to happen? You bet. And then, of course, Larry Houston, Will Mineo put together that opening title sequence like over a weekend. And it's so exciting. Yeah. You see all the characters, they're all introduced. You say, who's that? Oh, who's that? That's exciting. Who's this guy? And it's wonderful.
Yeah,
and
Disney has been giving me the option to skip it as I've been doing my X-Men rewatch, and I have not skipped a single one. I've watched it all 15 times now.
There you go. That's right. It's like, do you really want to miss, you know, that sort of bring us into the world experience? That's what these theme songs did. So it's a dying art. I don't know, but it's certainly, I think, worth preserving and encouraging productions to do that. It's worth the 1 minute of screen time, by my lights anyway.
Yeah, I would love to see a new banger of a theme song on a newer cartoon. I don't know why they don't do them anymore.
I do. Maybe, I mean, I don't watch every show that's out there. Maybe they do that still. Do that.
You the two of you have cartoon watching aged kids. Do the cartoons they watch have cool theme songs?
You know what? There are theme songs that I have to listen to a lot. often requested by requests that I've been kicked in the back of the head to listen to in the car. So, you know, they're doing their job.
You know what though? Oh, you know, maybe because of the way we consume media these days, because you can just skip the intro and go straight into the show. And I think a lot of shows almost encourage you to do that. So maybe they just don't put as high a value on a theme song that most people are just going to skip after they hear it the first time.
I don't know.
Maybe Chuck Lorre just ruined it for all of us. I don't know.
Seems like they're missing an opportunity, if you ask me.
Yes, I agree. But which I guess brings us back to the DuckTales.
Yeah.
And the episode that you're putting your poor listeners through.
Well, look, so this episode begins. Well, I'll just start rolling through and we go where we go. But Scrooge McDuck is working out on a weight bench with bags of money. He's talking about money, and his family is interested in money. So we really do definitely like hit the who these people are right off the top. He said, I lent some money to people in the movie business. And immediately I'm like, well, Scrooge, I thought you were a smart businessman. They're never paying you back.
That's not coming back. That's not coming back.
That's never coming back to you. You should know this. You are rich. So the kids are watching a show called Courage of the Cosmos, which is essentially the Star Trek or Buck Rogers, really kind of more so, of this DuckTales world. And I love a line, you know, Courage wouldn't know an asteroid from, and he trails off. Len, what wouldn't he know an asteroid from? I'm dumb. I don't know the answer.
I wish I knew, but clearly you could see what I was going for without getting into trouble, because there were people looking at this besides me. And I'm sure, and again, this is my second assignment for them. Do I really want to fight that fight? No, I don't. I would like to get hired for the third one or the 12th one or whatever. So I have no idea what that joke would have been. Again,
worried about your long-term success. I don't understand you at all.
Okay. Like I said, still fooling him. You know,
sometimes you have to spell things out for Ray. He's a little slow on the uptake.
I understood this episode, Gina. How dare you?
Oh, good. I enjoy the fact that Launchpad immediately does not like this guy, and even though they're both drawn to sort of look like each other a little bit, Launchpad is, you could see how he would be playing the Launchpad in the movie, because he's a little bit more, this is the equivalent of, you know, Matt Damon playing someone in a movie. But yeah, I like that Launchpad immediately is like, that's not a hero. I'm a hero. And this, look at this guy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. So I enjoy that sort of subplot that's going through this whole thing.
I didn't watch DuckTales. Was he that aggro normally? Cause he seemed like he had a vendetta against Hollywood. Like,
no, he was usually a fairly easygoing guy.
Yeah.
Not the brightest light on the Christmas tree either, but he was always kind of affable, but there was an immediate antipathy. But of course, what motivated that, and here we are actually talking about character again, is that he saw his buddies, whom he thought, he figured they're all his fans, and he sees their attention being drawn to this poser, and he's saying, hold on a minute, and not liking it. So
he was driving me crazy.
Yeah.
Definitely jealousy. He was driving me a little bit. I just wrote here, why is Launchpad so angry? Because a lot of his, I was trying to really break down his anger because I love anger. And the thing that I got out of it is he's watching the show and he's just like, that actor can't really fly a spaceship. And I'm like, no crap, Launchpad. Why are you so mad about that? It's understood he's an actor.
No. Yeah. I feel like you're saying that, but you have 100% watched a show about someone who worked in a game store or someone who works on video games and said angrily, that's not how that works. So we 100% get this. When I watched The Queen's Gambit, I was watching it with a very like, I'm a lady who played chess. What are you doing here, other lady who plays chess? So this is a very relatable thing, I feel like, especially in Hollywood, especially when everyone has an expertise.
You didn't get mad at the lady. You didn't get mad at the lady who was playing chess, though.
Yeah, I would get if she looked like she didn't know what she was
really
doing.
Mad at her.
I would have gotten mad at her. Like I've seen people, you know, watch fighting styles on TV and be like, "That's not this actor doesn't know how to fight." So this is to me 100% relatable. I feel like we all know people who have watched a show and said, "I liked it, but the way they were doing this wasn't accurate." And I feel like that's what Launchpad is doing here. He's like, this might be the best show in the world, but that guy's not a real pilot. So
I get that.
And now we live in a world where everybody's an expert.
Exactly, Len. Exactly.
Yeah. Thank you. I've seen YouTube. I know lots of experts out there. The plot takes us in a wild direction where
Yes. I do want to know this because all of Major Courage's crew are pigs. Is that a Muppet Show reference?
Pigs in space.
Okay.
You know what? I have to admit, I have not looked back at the script. I just watched the episode like you did. And so I cannot tell you if I called out for all pigs or if that was just an artistic choice on the part of the director and the storyboard artist. That would be a deeper dive than I did. My apologies.
No, it was.
Somebody made that call. We're just going to give you credit for it.
Yeah, okay. It was. I enjoyed it because they look like the pigs in space, too. Like they animated them to look.
They did.
Like the Muppet pigs. So that was immediately where my mind went also.
Okay, well, then somebody was doing an homage. I could not tell you who.
Well, then. Plot-wise, of course, the Hollywood people can't pay, and in a wild move, they say, we can't pay you the money we owe you on this loan, Scrooge. You get to take the entire studio. How much money did they borrow? I guess, first off, because the studio's expensive.
I assume it was, like, again, like United Artists, maybe they did their own Heaven's Gate, yeah. And this is where they ended up. It. You know,
yeah,
couldn't tell you.
They should have staggered the timeline. Theatrical release and the home release. Why?
To be fair, around this time, he could have actually been the one who funded Waterworld. So definitely out there.
There would have been more waterfowl in Waterworld. But anyway.
True. So we end up going to the set. And so here we go. We go to the set and immediately Scrooge McDuck is like, "This better be good or I'm shutting all your asses down." And immediately, of course, the Shatner character, Courage, is like, "I got a plan. Let's impress the nephews. We're going to put on like our own mini show for them. So he'll keep us literally all employed." Now, maybe Mitt Romney would love Scrooge McDuck's business acumen. I did not like the fact he walked into the studio, threatened to fire everybody, and literally end hundreds of careers. Scrooge, I know you're the protagonist, but you are an anti-hero at best.
No, this is very common for Scrooge. This was what he did in most of his episodes. His nephews are there to keep him human so that he doesn't just buy everything and shut it down.
He still owned his first dime. He's looking for a return on everything. So yes, I mean, again, for the convenience of the writer and the 22-minute episode, we had to move that along and say, "Oh, okay, well, I'm going to spend money to make money," which is fine, I guess. I wouldn't know what that's like. The only thing I learned in film school is not to spend your own money. So he ended up saying, "Okay," and he hired Gyro, his resident scientist, to build a better version of the spaceship. Well, take it from there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he builds the better version of the spaceship by building a real spaceship.
Right, as one does.
Yeah. I will also say that, you know, because he walks, it is very accurate to sort of original Star Trek or you know, original Doctor Who, in that everything looks kind of crappy, which, you know, people didn't care about watching those shows. They were still watching them. But it is his nephew's favorite show, and they're there to be like, "No, please don't cancel it." But he's all about the money. And I think that what we learned is that if Elon Musk just had three precocious nephews, he would get some better advice on what he buys and then tries to destroy.
No. He 100% has those nephews. They're working in an emerald mine somewhere in South Africa. That's the kind of dude he is.
That's fair. That's fair.
Tough room here.
But to be fair, though, they do get to read his tweets on a big monitor on the side of the mine. So, I mean, you know, they got that.
Oh, luxury.
Luxury. you know, and there's another bit here where they have automatic cameras everywhere, which is, you know, both great, but also, I mean, we're putting diligent camera people out of work, Scrooge. It made me very unhappy. Union today. And then Launchpad McQuack says, "Real heroes don't need cameras." Yes, but people on television, Launchpad, do.
Here's the thing. That's why I started to feel like it wasn't so much that thing where like, "Oh, that's not realistic." It's just more like a thing of like, "I hate theater people." The drama club in high school mocked me mercilessly. Actors, comedians, all of show business. I will destroy them all.
May I point out that we're talking about talking ducks here? What realism? Not a documentary, guys. Hate to break it to you.
Len, to quote the wrestling guy in that video, "They're real to me, damn it."
I will also say Launchpad is the only one that sees Courage for who he really is, because the kids the kids are very starstruck, and it's a very "Don't Meet Your Heroes" episode. But Launchpad immediately is kind of like, "Look at this jerk. He sees through him. What's that, Chan?
He's definitely a piece of crap. He's a Jared Leto or a, I don't know, who else do we hate? Who do we not care for these days?
He's Kevin Sorbo. He's the Kevin Sorbo of Star Trek.
There you go.
There we go.
Yeah, that's a good there one. You. That's a good
because one. People do have great affection for William Shatner, as I do too. I mean, he's 80-something years old. He's gone almost to space, mm-hmm. and he's a part of our childhood. It's you can't say, oh, shame on him. He's been a success for decades. There's a mm-hmm. lot to be said for that. I mean, let's all have that problem, right? But I digress.
Yeah.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Now, I can tell you a lot of tales about ducks. The Disney kind, of course. And you can check them out at McDonald's. Collect a different one every week.
Right, Scroogey?
Great wheels, Webby.
Huey, Chewy, Louie, and Jetski.
Yeah!
Duck, duck!
Oh, it's Launchpad!
And they're 95 cents each with any burger purchase.
Good deal, Scroogey, baby.
Now you can make up your own DuckTales. They're wild.
Or my name's not Willie.
DuckTales are here at McDonald's.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
Anyway, so... I mean,
to be fair, no, I got to say right now, because you brought it up, William Shatner, and this kills me, is 91.
Wow. 91, not 80.
How is this man 91? How he looks so good.
Wow.
Well, he's
Canadian, he's, so yeah.
Oh, there it is. Because he's Canadian. That's right. It's the back bacon that got him through it. You know, what can I say? They're a hearty breed, the Canadians. So, but anyway, we can talk about Major Courage instead, and we can make fun of him all day.
Yes, please.
Yeah. So you know, Scrooge's scientist does too good a job with building the spaceship and ends up building a real spaceship. And if he's not immediately recruited by NASA after the events of this episode, I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, true.
Well, Scrooge pays too well.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. He will turn them down.
I'm wrong. Scrooge doesn't pay anybody anything.
Yeah, that's right. He's doing it for the meals and the experience.
I guess so.
To be fair, and this section of this show actually proved one thing to me, that Scrooge McDuck is a lesson he'll never learn. Producers are important. Because if he had a producer... he would not have made a real spaceship. He would have made a TV set. I'm just saying.
I love this. I love the turn that this takes. I love that it's a real spaceship. I love that it really shoots off. I love that Launchpad is also stuck in there. So you have the real hero versus the fake hero. I thought this was a delightful turn that this took.
Well, thank mm-hmm. you.
And there's a real fun, the real fun scene where Launchpad is actually piloting the ship from underneath, uh-huh. and a very Avenue 5 kind of feel to it, which again, you reinvented Avenue 5 with this show. This is amazing.
I knew so much before I knew anything.
That's it. You've invented like 5 different TV shows and movies just through this one episode of DuckTales.
Yeah.
All the kids think that Courage is piloting the ship. It's really Launchpad. He gets through the asteroid field. Now, Courage, to his credit, I don't think he even knows. He still thinks it's fake. He's still, yeah. You know, when he meets the aliens, he's like, is that you, Murray? And I thought that was really, really fun. So he's thinking it's fake. He's like, I didn't hardly do anything, and I still dodged it.
I like that he's also the last one to catch on, like even after the little kids.
Yes.
Obviously, Launchpad is the first one. Doofus opens the door, and he sees that they're in space, and he knows what's going on. Mm-hmm. And he tells them this isn't a show. It doesn't really sink in, but then real aliens do show up, and that's sort of when the kids are like, holy crap, this is real. But I love that Courage is still thinks that these are actors in costumes, even as he's sort of fighting them.
Until he puts a fist through one of them and it just gets sucked in.
Yeah.
Then it sort of dawns on him, not the brightest light again. That he could be in trouble,
And so in that moment, you also invented the T-1000 from Terminator 2 Judgment Day. I'm giving you all the credit today.
Thank you. Yes. I invented the electric light bulb too. Nobody knows that.
I love the we're going to turn you into fertilizer line, because I love anything in a kid's cartoon that when you think about it too hard is really dark. So you know, they could have been like, oh, we're gonna lock you up, or we're gonna do this, but what he's essentially saying is we're gonna murder you and then grind you up into fertilizer, which I love. Yeah. I love that in a kid's cartoon.
Oh,
if you think about it.
I got something different out of that. I thought it was he was going to eat them and turn them to poop.
Oh, okay. All right.
No, that's dark. Okay. You know, using them as fertilizer is one thing, but that's a bridge too far. Luckily we took the curse off it with, well, here's the man for the job. And that way, mm-hmm. you know, we don't dwell on the obvious unpleasantness that was to come.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I also love that there's this robot butler who meets a very untimely end, which I was sad about, but he's bringing them snacks. True. And Doofus, who is the chubby friend of the,
okay, hold on, of the hold nephews, on. Was yes. this character's name Doofus? Yes. It's not like they just call him yes. Doofus. Like, he's literally his name.
Yeah, he's yes. Doofus.
I had nothing to do with that, by the way. That was created by the people who developed the show. I think Jim Magon and maybe Tad Stones. But yes, that was a character that was created for DuckTales the series. Not
hurtful.
Well,
he's the character that I relate to the most in this cartoon because when he is in a cell and he has brought some weird alien food, he's basically just like, might as well enjoy it. And that is 100% what I would be doing. And I would be eating that alien food and I would just be like, look, there's nothing we can do. We might as well eat this alien food. It might be delicious. And he's really enjoying himself. And the robot butler brings in a gun that will make him some custard. And I really wanted him to get that custard.
Yeah, there we go. There's the bottom line. This is Gina's like special wish in life, is she wishes she could get abducted by aliens and served weird alien food through a gun by a robot mm-hmm. butler. You could mm-hmm. even tell her she's like kidnapped under arrest. She'd be like, no. This is heaven.
Yeah, my love of cartoon food is well documented. cartoon alien food? That's even weirder. I'm going in. I'm going in with no regrets.
And a custard gun. Who wouldn't want that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would but that would be something that you would see like late night on an infomercial. It's like it's right after the brownie pan that makes just edges, you know? And then there's a custard gun. And then there's like the thing that opens milk because your fumbly hands can't properly open milk. But I'm buying that custard gun if I see it late at night.
Clearly, I'm going to bed too early because I missed all of these opportunities for late night purchases. Shame on me. Dear me.
I am going to stand up for poor Doofus, who's kind of like Scar. Like if your parents name you Scar, what do you think is going to happen?
You're not going to be an actuary, you know? It's not going to happen.
Like, they're mean to him.
He's a good friend.
Or we can just feed him all the Doofus.
He's going to... What? Like, he's so fat that they're just going to...
Come on, that's hilarious.
All right, well, you clearly have never been a fat kid in elementary school, but
those are hurtful words. Well, remember, this was in a less enlightened time. What can I say? We got away with stuff that today we would not get away with, and we would feel ashamed to have written. Thank you for bringing it up. But, it was long ago, and, you know, the Reagan era, and what can I say?
Oh yeah.
Here's the thing. He's already eating alien food. He doesn't know what that is. That could be other aliens ground up into food. So it's not that far of a stretch to say, yeah, just feed him to Doofus. He's eating anything at this point.
How different is this from the old Life cereal? Give it to Mikey. He'll eat anything. I mean, it's not far removed from that. Poor Mikey, he must have had some eating issues later. But I also had national commercial residuals, so let's not knock that.
There's
a balance here.
Mm-hmm. At least his parents didn't name him like Dickwad or something like that.
No, I think that was probably his one middle of the name, rejected Chan. Names. Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, the name Doofus can be endearing. You don't know. But I bet,
to that point,
I bet, like,
what you said,
I bet later on he goes to college and he gets cool and he just starts going by Doof.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. He comes home for the summertime and is like, hey, call me Doof, all right?
Then he learns how to play guitar, straps a flamethrower to it, and is ready for the Mad Max future.
Okay. You guys got to have goals. So
Y'all just got me thinking because you talk about how dumb Courage is. He's the last person to figure out what's going on. They're actually in space. These are really aliens. They're really in trouble. The fact that he figured it out after a character literally named Doofus really brings it home.
Yep,
dumb Courage is.
Yep. It's a searing indictment. It really is.
Yeah, I also feel like it is. Yeah. It is a commentary on the self-absorbed actor type. Who is never looking beyond themselves? Is it too deep?
The actors I've met are lovely, so I you may have experienced something different. But many actors, some of my friends are best actors. No, that's not right. Anyway.
You know, people that hang out with me have been accused of just being actors because they pretend like they enjoy it. So my point is they try the old sick trick, and I do appreciate that Launchpad McQuack comes up with it and then immediately Courage steals it as if it's his idea.
Yeah.
That is peak White Duck.
You're saying that they did a sick gag, and now we saw that years later in Thor Ragnarok. Did I invent that too?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. God.
I am shocked, actually. I'm shocked that Launchpad didn't throw Courage at the robot, because then it would have come exactly full circle, and you would literally have MCU rights at that point. I'm just saying, a lot of people are saying it.
Hello, Marvel, call me. I can do this for you, too. But of course, now that they own the DuckTales series, I already have. So
Fair point. So they go to fight the aliens. They dump food on the robot and take him out. Which, Gina, come on, that's the way you want to go. Come on.
I mean, here's the thing. I felt bad for him. He just wanted to deliver that custard. It sounded delightful, and he explodes.
Oh, now you have some empathy for these characters.
Only the robots. Only the robots, and only when food is involved.
I'm sure I was ripping off Douglas Adams altogether. You know, Marvin the depressed robot.
Nice.
Oh, fine. Do that if you must. You know, not that it hurts too terribly.
I found that robot super menacing. I think, like, because he comes in and it's understood that nobody could hurt him. He would kill them all if he had the chance to.
Oh, no.
And then they actually attack him and he barely notices. Thank God, because he's a murder machine. This is a kill bot. This is one of the robots from Chopping Mall. This guy wrecks, and they've got him squirting custard in an ultimate F you to science. And basically, you did also invent the movie had already come out by then, but you still invented Chopping Mall. I'm going to give you credit for that as well.
Yep, retroactively? I didn't know you could do that. All right.
Retroactively, yes.
Okay. Glad
we know a copyright lawyer. We will make it happen.
It's going to happen.
Ran out a list of the things that we talked about this episode. And
so are you saying that I can like sue myself? Is basically it.
Yeah.
Correct.
That's a Ruddles joke. That's going back a bit. That's a Ruddles joke.
I love Ruddles. Yeah. Love me some Ruddles. Oh my goodness. More Neil Innes in this podcast, please.
Oh, please. The genius. Genius. Anyway.
Yes.
So
Courage bails from them all and he just takes off. And you know what? I've never respected a man more. To know when you're in over your head and cut bait on a bad situation. You know, I myself could have taken that advice many times, but Courage follows through, follows his convictions, and nearly gets away.
Wow. So I identify with Doofus. Ray identifies with Courage. We're not the best.
We're on brand 100%. What are you talking about? Chad identifies with the robot. I mean, come on. We're all in this together, everybody.
Oh, bother.
Yeah. Chan is the depressed robot. And
I'm not sure.
We get a good writing moment here. Len, You're going to get full credit again. Great writing moment because, you know, they get on the comms because they had a big deal where the radio wasn't working. He gets closer. Right. The radio's working. They say, go back and get my nephews. He goes, I don't have to listen to you. I have a 5-year contract. This will come up later. This all ties together. This makes logical sense as the story goes. Len, full credit. This is all wonderful writing on your part. Great job.
It's a foreshadowing followed by a callback. You know, comedy 101, right? You know, the rules of three, stuff like that. That's the stuff I learned over time when I was, you know, the struggling sitcom writer. I got to know how to do that stuff, but it's not necessarily autopilot. You actually have to sort of practice these things and learn how to do a punchline. You know, I mean, I learned that stuff from the cartoons I watched and Archie Comics, believe it or not. I read those before I watched DC. And God, some of that stuff is brilliant, you know, and you get real character. I mean, Jughead was my role model, which explains a lot.
Yeah, I very much enjoyed the running 5-year contract bit. This delighted me at the end, especially.
Yeah. It was a fun callback.
So Launchpad operates the ship. They end up catching up to Courage's ship. They all get onto the McDuck ship. In the middle of all of this, the coordinates of Earth, the aliens wanted it. They got it from Launchpad's brain. We skipped over that. It's important later. They take off for Earth. Launchpad starts going the wrong way, again, foreshadowing. And then they say, no, it's actually this way. He goes to Earth. The aliens, using Launchpad's terrible, because he's actually, you know, he is kind of dumb. At the end of the day, he doesn't really know things, which is wild that he's so angry about a guy for not knowing things. But isn't that the angriest people among us are the ones who know so little? I'm very upset about that. My point is that the aliens follow the map from Launchpad's head and they bounce off of every planet going the wrong way physically possible. A delightful gag.
Yeah, I very much enjoyed this gag. I will say also the machine that sort of sucks the knowledge from Launchpad's brain. Again, if you think about it too long, it's a very dark tool. So I also loved that. And then I love that they got it from the sort of, I mean, I guess it could be read two ways. It could be, oh, they got information from an idiot, so clearly it's wrong. Or you could read it as he's that sly that he faked it for the machine and gave the machine the wrong coordinates.
No, actually, one of Launchpad's hallmark traits was he had a terrible sense of direction.
Ah.
So he really, truly, you know, his little scrambled sense of direction was what they uploaded, and to their peril, discovered, you know, how really bad at this he was. He's a fine pilot, you know. Launchpad always had a phrase that maybe it was from Darkwing Duck, you know, any crash you can walk away from is a good crash. Any landing you can walk away from is a good landing. I've forgotten what it was. I'm butchering it. But basically, he was a fine pilot. Once he got in the air, the going up and the coming down, not so great. You know?
Yeah.
I can't help but notice in this episode, we had a machine that you put on somebody's head that works through their memories and takes the memories out so that they can learn things about, you know, coordinates and where people are from. You basically also invented the Captain Marvel movie. MCU credits abound. Let's face it, this episode of DuckTales invented basically all of modern fiction. I'll go ahead and put it out there. I don't think I'm overselling it even a little bit.
Also, Len predicted our eventual black president, we established as well.
There you go.
So thank you. Aristotle and Len Yulee, I'm not sure that's accurate, but I'll take that as a compliment, however wrong it is. But, you know, we always look, you know, writers, we sit alone in our rooms. We're always looking for validation from any source. So, you know.
Well, the good news is for the next, like, you're going to watch about 20 different properties now going forward after this day, and you're going to be able to turn to anybody else in the room and be like, yeah, I invented that. I made that. That was me.
I did that one too. Yep. Yep.
But yeah, then
after we watch this Captain Marvel movie, we're watching this episode of DuckTales so you can see where it happened first. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
But yeah, we get to the ending that I love, which is that now that Courage has proven himself to be a dick, Scrooge can cancel the show, you know, free and clear, because the kids have also sort of realized he's a fake, and that Launchpad is the real hero. So yeah. Scrooge cancels the show, and they say, well, what did you do? You know, maybe we can get a sound clip here, Chan, for the ending with what he did with the studio.
Whatever happened to what's his name?
When the show went kaput, I had to find another way to make money on the studio. So I had Gyro turn it into a space museum.
But what's that got to do with Major Courage?
I found him a new line of work.
Get your moon rock candy, get your monsicles. One at a time, kids, one at a time. Ow! Mr. McDuck, let me out of here.
Sorry, Courage. Remember, you got a 5-year contract.
Whoa!
Indentured servitude.
Now, okay.
I
did not care for this at all. I didn't like this. Is the one part that really upset me, as somebody who often has to do nonsense for a living. I will say, I don't feel too bad for him because he's still getting paid, I'm assuming, a TV leading man actor to do this nonsense kids job. So at the end of the day, he's going home to his Malibu home.
But we've established that this is a character that you relate to. So you don't like that he got his comeuppance in the end, because you, Ray, don't ever want to get your comeuppance.
Gina, you're half right. It's not so much you deserve comeuppance, but I don't like the fact that he had to be around children. That's the part that truly upset me. But he's getting paid handsomely to do it for 5 more years. And many actors, they do commercial work, like Flo from Progressive, one of my favorites. Yes, you only get to play Flo in this very small stakes area, but you're being paid a ridiculous amount of money. In the same vein, he is the Flo from Progressive. You basically invented Flo from Progressive with this show. More checks need to be coming in. That's all.
And I'm sure the people at Progressive had no idea either. They knew. Sure, they grew up watching this show, and they said,
they always knew.
But by the way, the actors who get these regular gigs, on commercials, they can all buy houses and cars. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So let us not disparage the regular gig as a character, Mayhem or Flo or any of those people.
Love him.
They're all doing just dandy.
Some of them are our comedy friends, and we are very happy for their success, because you book a few of those and you're set.
You are so sad. My wife, she's a script supervisor in TV commercials, and she's worked on several of the Flo commercials. And I don't know if she's a personal friend of yours, but the actress is just lovely and so talented. And,
she's amazing.
See, again, like the voice actors I was talking about earlier, these wonderful people that were part of my childhood that I got a chance to listen to as they said my words, they're all so amazing and kind and funny. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking about Scrooge McDuck. Well, that was originally played by Alan Young, who was Mr. Ed's pal Wilbur.
Yeah. Okay?
And Alan Young, a lovely, lovely man also. So, it's just, and I was, meeting people like June Foray and Lorenzo Music and all those people, Paul Winchell, early on when I was, starting out at Disney, and just astonishing talents. What a thrill it was to be working with them. I know that's not germane to this particular episode so much, but really, truly, they were all just, it was, what a pleasure.
I've said for years, Len, that the best people among us are voice actors. They are the most talented, the nicest, and the most down-to-earth friendly people that you could ever meet. So if we want to take any opportunity outside of telling you all the things you invented through this episode to also glom a little bit onto voice actors, look, I'm here for it is all I'm
saying. Yeah, yeah. We've had a couple of G.I. Joe voice actors on and things like that in the past, and they've always been a delight and very entertaining.
Indeed. I mean, people like, Maurice LaMarche, Rob Paulsen, folks like that, you know, you want to be friends with these people because
yes.
they come into a room, they light up the room, they're hilarious from the get-go, and then they say your words and they make them that much better. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, what a gift. It really is. That part has been some of the most fun of any of the stuff that I've experienced in this career we laughingly refer to. It's just been amazing.
You're 100% right. I'll say there's a difference, but there's always a joy in hearing your words spoken out loud by other people, yeah. right? Like that's its own joy. But then there's that extra level of joy when somebody super talented, super who gets it and who is just yeah. in the moment. And when you hear them do it, it's like this whole other level, I'm sure.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's wow. I'm sorry. I'm left speechless because it is just wow. Mm-hmm. What they do.
Yeah. Yeah, you just smile. You just smile yeah. and just stare yeah. ahead like a 4-year, like what is it, like a 4-year-old watching, you know, Sesame Street, just mouth open, happy, enjoying it,
uh-huh.
just yeah. ready in the moment. It's beautiful.
Yep. I mean, honest to goodness, I mean, just on DuckTales, people like June Foray and Hamilton Camp and all those, Kathleen Freeman, these are people that grew you grew up listening to them, and Howard Morris from, you know, since he's a show of shows. Sure. Oh my God. Come on, people, just getting a chance. And, you know, Rob Paulsen, one of my gummy bears, it was one of Rob's first things and he sang a song I wrote. So it's like, you know, it's like, wow, I get to know these people, you know, it's just, we're not buddies. We don't, you know, go golfing, but I mean, I can say, yeah, I've met them, worked with them, and they're all just extraordinary. Anyway, I digress.
Well, that is the end of this DuckTales episode. We only have a few minutes left here for this episode. So Len, real quick, do you have any final thoughts on DuckTales, this episode, any other things you want to talk about? And then we'll wrap up the show.
You know, I want to, first of all, thank all of you for asking me to participate. You guys are just a delight. And aww. It's so much fun to chat with you. I do very much appreciate that. What can I say? This episode was, like I say, my second crack at bat here in the animation world. And I think the episode turned out pretty well and led yeah, to sure. other opportunities. And I got, like I said, to work with some wonderful people. So coming back and looking at it so many years later has been great fun. You know, there's lots of episodes. I, you know, if you were to say, well, what about this one? And I would say, did I write that? But, you know, stuff like this, I do remember fondly. And, you know, the X-Men episode we talked about and, you know, some of the other things, the Static Shocks and the Ben 10s and all those. This kind of trip down memory lane is a very good thing. It's very, very pleasant. And it brings back some wonderful memories. So thank you all for giving me this nostalgia moment.
Absolutely. And unlike June Foray, we will go golfing with you. Now, granted, it will be miniature golf at that place on Sepulveda by the freeway, but it counts. And I just want you to know that, Len, it counts.
Well, yes. I not to be morbid, June's gone now too. So, you know,
yeah,
it's,
that's true. A few years ago now. Yeah.
Yeah. And true. She was very, very, very dear, but you know, I appreciate it. And you know, it's as some of the comedy writers I knew when I was just starting out wrote, they would say, that's very funny because that's their way of giving you a high compliment. That's funny. And that was the kind of backhanded encouragement that I got from the, again, like I said, I grew up in LA. So some of my friends' parents were in the entertainment industry. And so I sure. would, you know, say to them, I want to do this when I grow up. And they'd say, yeah, okay.
Absolutely.
You know, so I was encouraged by some of them. And for that, I'm also grateful because I had no other fantastic. Skills. So, you know, this all worked out.
Well, yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for coming on. I really enjoyed watching this episode. I can't believe we hadn't done a done a DuckTales episode beforehand, and Chan picked a good one for us, and it was delightful to watch.
I mean, we have done one episode of DuckTales before.
Oh.
It was Chan, the very last episode they ever did, where Scrooge McDuck gets trapped inside the internet, and we love DuckTales, I'll be straight. Len, I hope you didn't write that one. That one was not one of our favorite episodes that we have seen.
I don't remember that one. I apologize. I will go look it up and point and laugh.
I want to say it was like the last one before the show was canceled, and maybe was the reason it was canceled.
I also don't even remember watching this, to be honest.
Wow. You might not have been. This might have been when you were being all TV's Gina Ippolito in New York City. Who knows?
Yeah. There was a period where you watched a bunch of bad cartoons without me because I was working on Murphy Brown.
It's a fair point.
That sounds okay.
It's not a bad deal. Trading a podcast for Murphy Brown, I guess.
You know, I and off mic, Gina, I want to separately talk with you and ask what that was like, because, oh my God, talk about working with incredible geniuses.
Yeah. Wow, I will absolutely tell you what it was like. It was great.
Talk about an opportunity of a lifetime.
Yeah.
Talking about working with geniuses, those people got to work with TV's Gina Ippolito.
Quite well made. You're not wrong. Yeah.
Well, everybody at home, thank you so much. Thank you, Len Yulee, for coming on the show. This is the time where we're going to talk a little bit about where you can find us online. You can go to facebook.com/knowingishalfthepodcast and join that group. Also find us on patreon.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. You're going to get a Patreon-only episode coming soon, so get your pencils ready and sharpened to tell us through your keyboards what episodes we should watch. Don't think about it. It does hold up. It holds up. Makes sense.
Ray's really Captain Courageon over here. He's
just don't make me work with children, please. otherwise, you can find us on Twitter, of course, at G.I. Joe Podcast. Len, where can people find you online? Do you have a presence? Do you have a thing you would like to point people towards?
Well, I am on Twitter. At Len Yulee, what a surprise.
Wow.
I'm on Instagram, but I really don't post anything there. I just work. Mm-hmm. And I'm on Facebook, and that's nobody's business but my own.
Yep.
I sometimes post about shows I've worked on Twitter and a lot of political stuff, so you will find out what an old-fashioned liberal West Side LA guy I am. Sorry to break it to you folks.
Go follow
that
Len.
Doesn't fit into this show at all.
That's how Len and I became friends. We were friends on Twitter first, so go follow him on Twitter. He's a delight.
Hey, I just did. I follow Len on Twitter now. Isn't that exciting?
That's very exciting, Ray.
I'm going to sit down and enjoy it with a nice snifter of brandy in a fireplace. Not that'd be outrageous.
You have to build the fireplace now.
In Los Angeles.
Yeah.
It's a cardboard box that I painted. You know, I got kids here, so we painted it with a little red fire. It's already hot in here, so it feels. And again, don't think about it. It holds together just fine. You can find me on Twitter. You can listen to other shows I do. We're not going to worry about that today. You can find me on Twitter at Almighty Ray.
At 999 RPMs.
I'm at Gina Ippy.
One more time. Len Yulee, thank you so much for joining the show today. And thank you so much for inventing every single other thing that's come after this episode of DuckTales. People say, you know, you define my childhood. You not only define my childhood, but my adolescence, middle age, old age. Pretty much every step along the way was you. And I just want to take the moment to thank you for that.
Well, thank you very much. You're very kind, and thank you for the opportunity to
chat. All right, everybody. Good night.
Hello, dear listeners. Do you enjoy playing video games with your best friends? Then I have the pod for you. I'm Philip, host of the Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. Each week, my co-host Nave and I break down a cooperative experience in gaming, and we are always looking for new co-op partners to join us. So come play with us on the Gaming Together podcast.
So I'm standing over this toilet taking a piss, and I'm playing my Pokemon, and I dropped it in the toilet. I remember the Game Boy just tumbling into water. And I remember screaming for my mom, trying to get this Game Boy.
Wait, how old are you?
And she yelled at me. She yelled at me.
Oh my god.
Like, traumatized. I was like, no, my Pokemon.
That's Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. Come on down, co-op partners.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.